All right. Good morning, my brothers and sisters of Heritage Bible Church, and all of those out watching further away through the power of the internet. I am pleased to be speaking with you again today, and I am going to return to the series that Ken and I have been swapping back and forth with our top 10 scriptures, most popular verses of God's Word, of the Bible. Today is a verse that you're all very familiar with. Why don't we, in honor of God's Holy Word, could we all stand and say it together? I bet you don't even need to look at it, don't you? Psalm 119, 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You may be seated. Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. How precious it is. Would you calm our thoughts now, our minds and our hearts, and help us focus on your word that we may receive the message that you have prepared for each of us today, as you so amazingly are able to do week after week, day after day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As many of you probably already know, Psalm 119 is not only the longest chapter in the book of Psalms, it is the longest chapter in the whole Bible. 176 verses. The author, of course, is King David, who loved the Lord with all of his heart. God even said of King David, he is a man after my own heart. Now, those of you in here who are or used to be English or literature teachers, or those of you who just simply love poetry, Psalm 119 is written in poetic structure. It is an acrostic of every letter of the Hebrew alphabet. 22 sections, stanzas, if you will, or paragraphs in this psalm, one for each of the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, in order, by the way. Each stanza has 8 verses, which also begin with the same letter. So, for instance, verses 1 through 8 in Psalm 119 all begin with the letter A. Now, for those of you who teach math in here, you have exactly 22 stanzas with exactly 8 verses. You have 176 total verses. It is said that perhaps King David used this to teach his children, which of course would include King Solomon. And perhaps he taught them not only God's word and his love for our holy God, but and God's holy word, but also he taught him the Hebrew alphabet at the same time. As many of you know, the root the history of the word Sunday school, the Bible is the best place to teach everything from the alphabet to how to read to truths that will change our life. In essence, Psalm 119, King David is giving us a complete A to Z reason for delighting in God's Word. Today's verse, verse 105, is the first of 8 verses that begin with the Hebrew letter Nun, N-U-N, is how we would pronounce it. And of course, it is similar to our letter N. Now, it's not a real long verse, verse 105. It's not a real short verse. Perhaps Goldilocks would say it's just right. But even though it's not real long, I believe in its potential impact on our lives, this verse is enormous. If 1,000 pastors gave 1,000 different messages, I believe each message we would come away with 2 or 3 or 4 new truths from this amazing verse. I've come to find out through the years that all of God's Word is kind of like that, isn't it? It is alive. And you can go back to it again and again and find new amazing truths that impact our lives. So if I may, I'm obviously not the first pastor to speak on this. I would like to now just humbly, but passionately as I am, share with you my thoughts on this amazing verse. I see Psalm 119:105 as separated into two separate but similar thoughts. First, of course, God's word is a lamp unto our feet. So it's each individual step of our life, because every day we have multiple decisions to make. And we can make those decisions in light of God's word or not in light of God's word. And the second part, and a light unto our path. I personally see this as the longer, the bigger picture, the longer journey that God has in store for us. But before we talk about the light we receive from God's word, let's take just a minute, if you will, to speak of darkness. I had lived 18 years on this planet Earth before I experienced total and complete pitch black darkness. And let me tell you what, it was shocking to me. I was 18 years old, had just graduated high school. 1981, Sears and Roebuck. I worked at the hardware department right down here in the Panama City Mall. And they had an enormous stockroom in the back, if you've ever been in the hardware department of a giant store like that. The stockroom of a giant store like that. They're enormous. They're 20 feet high. They have racks going to the ceiling. Kind of looks like Sam's, right? Goes as far back and as far wide as you can imagine. But one thing that was not in the Sears and Roebuck stockroom was a window. Not one. You know, there's actually one more thing that was not in there that we have in today's commercial buildings. That was the emergency lights that come on when the power goes out. If power went out in here on a pitch black night, those emergency lights would come on for a little while, but that was not the case in 1981. I experienced a darkness like I have never seen before. And believe me, I've been out in the country. No moon, clouds over the stars. We know what darkness looks like, but not this dark. Wow. And it just, in a split second, of course, my eyes had no time to adjust. And literally, as the saying goes, you could not see your hand directly in front of your face. It was crazy dark, and I was in shock. And I reached out, I guess by instinct, and I grabbed the metal shelf that I was standing next to. And I stood still right there. I didn't move. I guess instinctively I knew not to move. If I start walking, you know, am I going to walk straight or am I going to walk in a circle? You know, when it's that pitch black, I don't know. It messes with your mind. Does it even mess with your equilibrium maybe? I'm not a scientist, but it probably does. Which way is up? Which way is down? It's dark. And, you know, I could have twisted an ankle. I could have fallen and broken a leg or an arm. Or I could land on something. Imagine what you could land on. It's a hardware store. It's the hardware department. There's lots of things that could puncture you and cut you in a hardware department. I wasn't going to move. Now, that's just the dangers what we might experience indoors. Think about, and all of you can probably think of an experience in your life about when we're walking outdoors at night, in the darkness, in the forest, no houses, no streetlights nearby. One of those nights where there's no moon. And, well, there is a moon, but you can't see it. You know what I'm talking about. And the clouds are so thick, you can't see the stars. It's dark, man. And all of a sudden, that flashlight goes out. Huh? What do? You whack it a couple of times. And it flickers a few times, and then it says, I'm dead. You ain't getting no more out of me, baby. Well, outdoors, there's a lot more dangers. There's rocks again, we could trip on. There's logs we could stumble over. There's holes in the ground we could fall in and break a leg. There's cliffs we could walk off. Maybe not in Florida. Not to mention the things that are alive, snakes, scorpions, spiders. And we haven't even begun to speak of the larger dangers, lions and tigers and bears, oh my. Darkness is fraught with dangers, toils, and snares. But let us think for a moment. Is it the darkness that's dangerous, or is it just we can't see? Because those rocks and those logs and those holes and those cliffs and yes, those snakes were there during the daytime. We just can see better in the daytime, can't we? So maybe it's not the darkness that's the problem. It's just we can't see in the darkness. We can't see because those dangers are still there. Brothers and sisters, in John chapter 18 and 12, Jesus himself makes it real clear that he does not want us to walk in darkness. He wants us to walk in the light. I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but in light. Folks, brothers and sisters in Christ, who is the light? Who is the light? Jesus is the light. Hallelujah. I even love in Revelation. Whew, there's a whole lot to learn and to try to understand in that book. But in Revelation 21, it talks about when God the Father comes down and rebuilds the new heaven on earth, the new Jerusalem. There's no need for sun and moon and stars because Jesus will provide all the light we need. Wow, I don't even understand how that works, but I guarantee you, Jesus is the light. Whew. Now, Jesus isn't standing right next to us right now. So as we walk through this light, life, he is in Holy Spirit, but he's not physically standing right there to provide light. Remember in John chapter 13 and 14 when this whole conversation was going on and Peter was worried about Jesus was going away. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, relax, Peter. I will send you a helper. My brothers and sisters in Christ, who is that helper? The Holy Spirit. Now, just to clarify, I don't want to get any theological arguments, but the Holy Spirit isn't something we have to earn. The Holy Spirit isn't something we have to do some kind of miraculous speaking in tongues or do some kind of miraculous event. When we genuinely accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we get two things that moment, that second. We get salvation that only comes through Jesus Christ and believing in Him. And the second thing we get is the Holy Spirit comes to indwell us right then. And He will never leave us. He may be unhappy with us sometimes. You know, we can anger God's Spirit. We can disappoint the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. On the other side of the coin, we can make the Spirit of the Lord proud of us and pleased with us. But He's never going to leave. He's always there. You know, we break our promises sometimes, boys and girls. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit never break their promises. He will be with us throughout all of eternity. Now with that in mind, with a thought of the Holy Spirit in mind, let's look back at this verse for a moment. Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Lamps in the Bible time. Let's talk about lamps in the Bible time. If you guys haven't looked through back there, we've had missionaries, we've had Pastor Hazard go overseas, other folks go overseas, and they bring back all kind of cool stuff and they put it in that curio cabinet back there. Here is a oil lamp that Pastor Hazard brought back on one of his trips from Israel. Maybe this is kind of what King David was talking about. It's got a little handle on it right there. There's where you put the oil in right there. It would have a little wick that comes out right here that's, of course, saturated with the oil. And you light the wick. You can see where it's been burnt around the end. This may have been something King David was referring to when he said, a lamp unto my feet. Not a very big lamp, was it? Lamps in Bible times were not powered by electricity. They were not powered by batteries. Or, sorry, Elon Musk, they were not even powered by solar cells. They were filled with oil. Now, without oil in the lamp, it's going to be dark still, isn't it? We see many places in Scripture. Think about this now, the oil in the lamp. We see many places throughout Scripture where God is where the picture of the Holy Spirit is symboled by oil, is represented by oil. Oil is a picture, is a symbol in Scripture of the Holy Spirit. Now, we're going to dig into that in just a second, but let me let you know right up front. Unbelievers can read God's Word too. Everybody can read God's Word, thanks to Johannes Gutenberg. And we can all read God's Word now. And years ago, folks didn't want us to read God's Word. We can all read it for ourselves now. We can compare the historical events. We can see that, wow, what's written in God's Word by all these different authors. We look back through the findings of archaeological digs, and we're like, wow, this book is archaeologically, historically accurate, 100%. We can read, both the believer and the unbeliever, a believer can read the truths of the theological points in Scripture, and we can agree or we can disagree. Many unbelievers would disagree, but perhaps here's why. Saul talks about in 1 Corinthians, when the unbeliever reads some parts, not all parts, but some parts of Scripture, it is foolishness to him. Even the salvation of Christ is foolishness to the unbeliever. Why? Because they don't have the Holy Spirit guiding their thoughts and understanding that we do. Folks, when the power of the Holy Spirit indwells the lamp, the truth of God's Word, then is when our steps are very clear. They are clearly lit. Let's do some specific examples of this, and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. You'll probably think of 1,000 others. Example one, someone has wronged you. It happens in our daily walk, doesn't it? Somebody does us wrong. How would an unbeliever respond? Well, generally, the unbeliever responds with anger, vengeance. I'm going to get even with them. I'm going to fix their little red wagon. Maybe sometimes as believers, we respond that way too. But that believer, believers have that Holy Spirit in us. When we have that small, still voice that speaks to us. And oftentimes, I don't know about you guys, but for me, it speaks God's Word. The oil in the lamp working together, the Holy Spirit empowers God's Word to make these amazing decisions in our life. Someone has wronged us. I tell you a verse that comes to my mind. Do not repay evil with evil. Romans 12:21. But overcome evil with good. The Holy Spirit uses God's Word, the oil in the lamp, to show us clearly in the light of where not to step, don't repay evil with evil, but where to step, repay evil with good. Another example, how about this one? Have you ever had this? Your boss gives someone else the promotion that you deserve. Oh, how does the unbeliever respond? I quit, to heck with you. This guy's an idiot. He's bad-mouthing the boss. How does a believer respond? Well, I'm going to tell you this in advance, and we're going to come back to this in a minute, but I didn't find this scripture till I was in the working world. I was in my early 30s before I found this scripture. Colossians 3:23. The Holy Spirit brings this thought to my mind all the time now. Work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, for it's from the Lord you will receive your reward. God's Word, the Holy Spirit using God's Word to show us where to step and where not to step. Lynette and I have a friend who, you know, we all have friends who lose loved ones, have a friend who lost her father and her father-in-law this past week, one day right after the other. Whew. God's Word not only shows us what decisions to make, but it shows us these tough times in life. How do we handle them? What we do? We don't even know what to say sometimes to a person who's going through such a hard time. But Philippians 4:6 tells us, in all things pray. And it specifically says, pray for the peace that passes all understanding. I don't know what our friend Terry is going through right now. I've lost loved ones too, but back to back like that, goodness. But I know our God is the source and the only source of the peace that passes all understanding. And we can turn to Him and pray, Lord, please wrap your loving arms around Terry right now and give her that peace that passes all understanding that only you are able to do. Not only in our decisions, not only in our prayer life, it's just in our daily thoughts as we're driving down the road. Anybody go on vacation yet this year up into the mountains? You've been on vacation in the mountains before, and as you're driving your car, you see that sign that says, Scenic Overlook. Ah, I love those. Honestly, we're usually way too busy to pull over, aren't we? Oh, I speak to myself when I say we should stop more often. And you pull over and you see just this amazing scene, these rolling hills and mountains. And gosh, if it's in the fall, you see all the colors of the trees. You see the waterfall. You see the babbling brook. You see the river and the meadows. And I don't know about you, but Psalm 139 is what the Holy Spirit brings to my mind. Marvelous are thy works. And that my soul knows full well. Wow. Every step is clearly lit when the Holy Spirit empowers God's Word in our daily lives, all in the lamp. Now, before we move on to the second section of this verse, let it just be said that the light of God's Word shows us both where to step and where not to step. What decisions will land us in peace and safety and even success? And which decisions will land us in worry and danger and possibly even destruction if we choose them. Oh, and one more thing. And this is huge. Hear me, brothers and sisters. Remember I told you that I didn't even know that Colossians 3:23 scripture until I was in my 30s and then I started applying it regularly to my life? Listen to me. The more of God's Word we have stored away in our heart and in our mind, the more material the Holy Spirit has to work with to guide us in our daily steps. Let me say that one more time. The more of God's Word we have stored, we have memorized, we have studied and meditated on in our heart and in our mind, the more material the Holy Spirit has to work with on a daily basis to guide our steps. Now for the second part of verse 105. The Lord is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Not just our individual steps, but the longer, the bigger picture, the path of our life, short-term goals, long-term goals. He is a light unto our path. I believe first this refers to not only our daily steps, the first part refers to our daily steps, but the second part refers to that longer part. And hopefully, you and I have chosen God's path for our life and not the world's path, or not our own selfish, greedy path, or not Satan's path. Oh, believe me, brothers and sisters, Satan has a path for you. He's got several paths he wants you on. But be certain, whatever path we are on, God's Word will shine light on it. I don't know about you, but that's pretty sobering to me. Did you know, though? Here's the good news. Let us not stay in the darkness. God has a path for you and I already laid out. Jeremiah 29:11 that we studied not long ago. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Listen, folks, it is His desire to shine His light on His path that He has established for you and for I. But here's a truth about, I don't know if it's scientific truth or not, but you can all relate to it, a truth about lights on this earth. Whether it's an oil lamp or one of those long 4D cell flashlights, or whether it's the high beams on your SUV, they reveal only a short distance of what's ahead, don't they? Now, don't get me wrong. Our God has no limits. But for some reason, He also chooses to only show us on that path with His light only a short distance ahead. Only the next 3 or 4 steps. Only the next curve or two. Does that frustrate you guys as much as it does me sometimes? Now, I'm a little better with it than I used to be. But goodness, Lord, if you could just show me how this is going to end, I'll know what to do between now. I'll know which to choose if you show me how it's going to end. Please just show me how this is going to turn out. Seems frustrating. If He knows the entire path, why doesn't He just reveal it to us right up front? Well, I think we all know the answer to that is quite simply because He is far wiser than we will ever be. And in most cases, though it could be 1,000 different reasons beyond this, but I think in most cases, He knows what lessons we will need to learn along the way, lessons that we will have need of when we have arrived at that destination, at that place down the path that He has prepared for us. He takes us on this short excursion to learn this lesson. He takes us on that short excursion to learn that lesson. And another excursion over here to learn yet another lesson. So many things He needs to teach us in life. By the way, we can learn the hard way or the easy way. We get to choose. Sadly, I think most of us choose the hard way most of the time, don't we? He takes us on excursion to teach us to be gentle. Sometimes He teaches us to be bold and to know the difference. He teaches us when to be cautious. Teaches us about forgiveness sometimes, doesn't He? When we don't want to forgive somebody. He's got a lesson for us there. He teaches us patience. Yes, He teaches us patience. Folks, I hope you don't fear that silly thing that says, oh, don't pray for patience, don't pray for patience. I think that's silliness because our God, the God I know, is not sitting up in heaven waiting for you to say that dirty word, patience, and He's going to whack you with trials. I don't think that's how our God works at all. I know patience comes through trials, but I know our God is also merciful. He's got lots of lessons that He wants to teach us, many of them having to do with the content of our character and our wisdom and how to walk in this life. All of these lessons He knows in His infinite wisdom that we will have need of when we arrive at what He has prepared for us. It's sad to say, but for if we knew the destinations beforehand, we would certainly be tempted to bypass many of those short excursions, only to arrive ill-prepared and unequipped. And you know what we would do then? We would likely ruin the wonders that He has prepared for us. May we not be frustrated in the short distance of the light's reveal that God gives us. But may we instead praise Him for His wisdom and for His love. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. May we get excited about that passage as King David was. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, how you have revealed so much to us in your word. May we give it the attention that it is due. And Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit that brings your word alive in our life. Father, will you help us as we go out this week from here, as we as we take our steps, and it was as we look at the path, that we will hear your voice, we will listen to your voice, and we will follow your voice. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.